grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I'm going to talk today about one of my friends from high school. His name is Thomas. And he's in his last semester at college at Penn State, and he's learning how to teach agricultural education. He's in his last semester, which means he's student teaching. Those of you who are teachers, I'm sure you remember what that was like. So he and his fellow classmates, who are all out across the state, Pennsylvania, student teaching high school agriculture, have spent so much time lesson planning over the past few months. And they are ready for their time in the classroom. And when January comes, it's the first big day, which means that he has to do a few things. One, he has to establish class rules, which isn't so exciting, and classroom procedures, but also, he has to come up with a really fun activity to keep these kids involved. So here's what he came up with. So in his class at Elizabethtown High School, he gave his students four separate materials. Ready? He gave them three golf balls, a cup of sand, two cups of pebbles, and one medium-sized mason jar. And the students had one objective. They were to take all these materials, the golf ball, the pebbles, and the sand, and they were to put them all in the mason jar so there wasn't anything left over. Does that sound easy? Yeah? No? No. Okay. There are some people who are shaking heads. So it's not easy because it all depends on what you put in first. So Thomas has a few results in his classroom. First, he had a few kids who put the sand in first, and then the golf balls, and then the pebbles, but not all the pebbles would fit in. And then there was a group who put the pebbles in first, then the golf balls, and then sprinkled the sand on top. But that didn't work because the sand didn't get all the way to the bottom, and he couldn't fit all the sand in. But the winning combination, though, was golf balls first, then pebbles, then sand. And he told his kiddos that this experiment was really a metaphor for life, right? He reminded his students that they have to take care of the big things in life, the golf balls, before they can handle the smaller things, like the pebbles or the sand. It's when we prioritize things a little bit differently, though, when we put the small things before the big things, that we can't fit everything into our mason jar of life. So today, you're probably wondering, how the heck does this relate to the gospel lesson? But today we find Jesus in our chapter in Luke, spending time serving the people. So he's in the middle of his journey to Jerusalem, which started in Luke chapter 9 and goes all the way through Luke chapter 19, with his entry into the city on Palm Sunday. So here we have Jesus about halfway through his journey. And so far, he's told a lot of parables on his journey, including the one about the Good Samaritan. So far, we've met Mary and Martha, and so far, Jesus has talked about storing up his treasures in heaven. In this chapter, specifically, he talks about the parable of the mustard seed, and then he heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath, which, if you don't know anything about Jewish elders, made them a little bit angry, because Jesus was not supposed to be healing on the Sabbath. So today, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, decide that it's time to warn Jesus about King Herod's plot to kill him and to get rid of a potential uprising. See, after all, Herod had just killed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, so Jesus was probably next. And how does Jesus reply? Just with a simple, really, hey, I don't really have time to think about that right now. I'm healing people. Come back later. And if we go back to that mason jar, and we fill it with all of the things going on in Jesus' life at the time, so we have the sand, the pebbles, and the golf balls, what would they be? What would they represent? Mommy? When our very human eyes, if we're in the same situation that Jesus was in, you would probably put the Herod wants to kill me as the big golf ball in our mason jar, right? Healing people would probably be the pebbles, and then maybe preaching the sand, because after all, we can't preach or heal people if we're not here, right? But Jesus says, no, I'm going to reorder things a little bit. Jesus sees this so differently than we would as humans, and so differently than the Pharisees saw when he was warning them about Jesus' death. See, instead of putting his own life as the most important thing, as the big golf ball in his mason jar, Jesus tells the Pharisees that his life ranks second to the people he cares for. See, in Jesus' mason jar of life, the people that needed healed are the golf balls, but his life, though, that's just kind of sand. That can go in last. And that is really what separates Jesus from the Jewish elders. Now, these Jewish elders, they mean well. They want to save Jesus from death, but Jesus doesn't really want anything of it. You know, he knows what's coming, and he knows how it's coming in just a few weeks. But instead of running from it, he instead spends his time caring for others. And in his words, like a mother hen would. So that's kind of what's different about today's lesson, right? We hear theologian Leah Shade reminds us of why Jesus chose this metaphor, this, I want to be like a mother hen. She said, if any one of you have chickens, you know what mother hens are like. She says, you know, no one really likes a mother hen when they're brooding, right? Mother hens are overprotective. They're interfering, they're overbearing. They cluck and they pick and they watch constantly for anything that could harm their chicks. Nobody likes a mother hen. No one likes a mother hen unless you're a vulnerable chick in need of protection. Unless all your life you've been deprived of a mother's care. And unless all you've known is the feeling of being abandoned or left of your own devices or of being stranded to face that fox all by yourself. So Jesus sets aside his own life to care for his chicks. He guides them, he chastises them, and he leads them, but more importantly, he cares for them. He values their own lives over his own, and he's willing to put himself into danger, even on a cross, to save their lives. And he does. And so often, you know, we think of God as this father, right? This defender, this protector. But also, you know, God is very much like a mother hen. God comforts us when we are distraught. He comes to rescue us when we are lost. And he opens his arms to us, protecting us. Arms outstretched, even unto death, onto a cross. You know, and that's our challenge for the church today. We are to carry out that mother hen legacy. We are to be a mother hen to those who need protecting, who need welcomed, who need cared for. Whether that's saying hello to someone new in our sanctuary, welcoming back individuals who left their pews for one reason or another, or reaching out to those who are homebound. It's then that we are being like the mother hen of the church that is Christ. We know that we don't have to put our own lives at risk to do so. But when we think about the mason jar that is our lives and our church, we also have to think about what we are prioritizing. Is there our own well-being, our own comfort, or just the protection and the love that we have for others and that we are called to bring forth to the world?